morning. Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I heard the sisters had a blast Friday night. I want to say thanks to Dorsey and Chandra for organizing that. And after hearing all the fun you guys had, women, we got to step it up. Because we also know how to have fun. So I'm looking forward to the next men's night out. And we're going to have a great time. In Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin reading verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. A few weeks ago, I talked about Jesus being the Messiah, the anointed one that came from God. And because of his death, burial, and resurrection, you and I one day will get a chance to spend eternity with the Almighty. And that is indeed a lot of good news. But I want us to talk about the other aspect in this passage that Jesus mentioned. After Peter declared that indeed he was the Messiah, Jesus said to Simon, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. This morning, I have titled the lesson, I Will Build My Church. Now, that's Jesus speaking. You know, there are many great promises in the Bible that are made to us individually and collectively. One of my favorite ones is in John 14 when Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you so that you can be with me. That's an incredible promise that I think about every single day. Another promise I love, I mentioned this in my lesson on Thursday night in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. When God says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Incredible promise. Another promise I love is in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40, where God says, I will never stop doing good to them. Talking about his children. That's us. Yeah, the context was the Israelites, but you and I today were spiritual Israelites. Amen? And in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 4, it says, I will never stop doing good to them. This passage I just read is also a promise. When Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Do you think of it that way? As a promise. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. It is a guarantee. Amen? Amen. Obviously, the church started in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Those guys were filled with the Holy Spirit from above, and they started speaking all these different languages they had never learned. Peter gets up He'd been given the keys, and he literally opens the door. And at the end of his sermon, people say, "Hey, brothers, what shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He says, "The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." The Bible says, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And the Bible says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that very day. And the church gets started. It was an exciting day. Jesus promised he will build his church. Remember when he said this in Matthew chapter 16, it hadn't happened yet. He says, "I will build my church." I say to us this morning, Jesus has been building his church since Acts chapter 2, and he's still in the process of building his church. Amen? And that's the exciting part. Notice, he says, "I will build my church." God started one church. It is left for you and I to read the Bible and find out where that church is at. Man, over the years and centuries, have gone off and divided it. But Jesus started just one church. You know, a few weeks ago, I got a text from my good friend Mike Tolliver. And I remember I was sitting in my office, and I saw a news flash that smoke was coming out of the chimney at the Vatican. I know what that means. They picked a new pope. I used to be Catholic, by the way. And so I got up and I turned the TV on because I wanted to see who was going to walk out on the balcony. And Tolliver texts me, says, "Are you about to walk out on the balcony?" So I texted him back. I said, "Bro, I left the Catholic Church over 30 years ago. I said, if I walk out of that balcony, the first thing I'm doing is we're going to get rid of all these images. All these statues, I'm going to say, bring them down." I said, "There's no way in the world they're going to let me walk out on that balcony. It's not happening." But you see, Jesus started one church. And today, we got so many denominations. And the challenge we have is we got to go back to the book and find out what the church was like when it got started. Because we didn't start this thing. This was not our idea. We can't determine what it's meant to look like. God started his church. The word "build" in the Greek is pronounced okodomeho. Okodomeho. It's spelled O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. Okodomeho. It means to erect a building up from the foundation. Jesus says, "I will build my church." We all know the word "church" in Greek means ekklesia. It actually comes from two Greek words, ek, out of, and keleo, which means to call. The church is a people called out. It's an assembly. It's a gathering of God's people. And Jesus says, "I will build my church." There are other names in Scripture. There are other phrases in Scripture where it talks about the church. The church is called the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. It's called the body of Christ also. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 to 23. The church is also called the household of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Household of God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. The church is also called the temple of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Temple of God. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. The church is also called the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. The bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. The church is also called the kingdom of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Okay, and there are others. But I think it's so cool right here. It just says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it." Notice, death did not and has not prevented Jesus from building his church. I don't know about you, Satan must be very frustrated. Think about that. To know that he's fighting a battle he can never win. You know, if you really think about it, the devil, and I spoke about this a while back, Satan has some tactics that he uses. But he's got no new stuff. We know them, we've read about them. We know how he operates. God, on the other hand, is very powerful. We don't even know everything that he's capable of. Are you with me? Satan and God are not equal. Satan is a created being, just like you and me. He's not God. He's not equal with God. He was never equal with God. Are you with me? And he says the gates of hell will not overcome this church. The gates of hell cannot overcome Jesus' church. That should give us a lot of security. That yes, even like Gary was reminding us this morning, there's going to be suffering in this life. The gates of Hades cannot overcome God's church. Now you say, where's the building? Well, the church is not a building. The church is comprised of individuals. I'm a part of the body of Christ. You are part of that body as a Christian. It's us that make up the church. It's the assembly, the ecclesia, the people called out. Are you with me? And so, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Which means, literally means, he's going to build you and I up. He will continue to train us and transform us into the image of his son, Jesus. Are you with me? But it's a guarantee. And like even Jim was reminding us last week, there is no such thing as, well, yeah, I'm growing, and then I get to a point and I plateau. It shouldn't be that way. Because God has been building his church, and he's still building his church. There will never come a time where you and I, you know, we're totally built, and we got it all figured out. Oh, no, that ain't happening. Okay? As we grow older in the Lord, we're meant to grow older spiritually. Amen? Because that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, I will build my church. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, did I say 1? I meant chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, we got to be very careful that even as the church grows, as we grow, that we don't start following personalities. They fell into that same century. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He says, verse 5, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord assigned to each his task. Paul said, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. But only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work.
If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
I mean, these are some serious words over here. You see, we've got to be very careful. Back then, somewhere, hey, I follow Apollos. We know from the book of Acts that the Bible tells us he was a learned man. He's probably very eloquent. Some were saying, no. I'm with Paul. And he's reminding them, what after all are these guys? They're just men, mortal men, by which they came to hear the message. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Amen? Amen? God is the one that grows his church. Amen. It's not man. I may have said this to some of you privately, but I'm going to say it from the pulpit. It really bothers me when a Christian, a disciple, when they ask him what they think of a particular brother who's an evangelist or who's a preacher, and the first thing that comes out of their mouth, oh, that guy is a great preacher. I don't know about you, that really bothers me. Because it's not about preaching. I would hope that if somebody were to ask, how's that brother who's the evangelist? Oh man, that man loves God. If that is not what comes out of their mouth, I believe there's a problem. Because it's not about the preaching. I've seen preachers come and preachers go. You and I know people. They're teaching false doctrines, but they're great preachers. It's not about the preaching. It never was. It's about, does this man or this woman, do they love God? Do they point people towards God? That's always been the issue. And should be the issue. Because it is Jesus' church. That's the only foundation we've got. And that's why a lot of times, that's why you see, when you see a very charismatic preacher, and he dies or, he becomes incapacitated, his church goes down the tubes. Because they're following him. And once you take him off the pulpit, there's nothing else to follow. Amen? It's never been about the preacher. I didn't plant this church. Like Jim Lanahan was reminding us last week, he was one of the original, quote-unquote, members here. He used to be called the Atlanta Highland Church of Christ. Even before then, it was the Lenox Church of Christ, if I'm not mistaken. And now, we're called the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? 30 years from now, I don't know what the name is going to be. I have no idea. I accuse my girl and say, let's change the name. It's going to be up to them. Again, it's not the name on the door. It's not the name on the building. It's what is being taught on the inside. Amen? We got to be very, very, very careful. God grows the church. The question, brothers and sisters, this morning is, are we going to make ourselves available? Are we going to be part of God's fellow workers? The Bible says we are God's field. We are God's building. Are we going to allow God to mold us and use us? But let me tell you something. God's church is going to get built. That's a guarantee. The question is, are you going to be a part of it? God is going to do the work. The question is whether you and I will make ourselves available and become a part of it. Because the church is going to get built. You can take that one to the bank. The question is, are you going to be a part of it? Do you want to be a part of it? Because as far as I'm concerned, there are no spectators in the kingdom of God. We are all called to be workers in here. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus promises to build his church. Are we going to allow him to build us up? That's the question. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19.
It says, consequently, we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too have been built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's incredible.
He starts off by reminding us that, you know what, we're no longer foreigners and aliens. We're now fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We now belong.
We're part of God's family. He says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Get this, verse 21. It says, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises. It doesn't say stay stagnant. And rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, all of us have been built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Wow. That's amazing to me. In terms of what God has called us to be a part of. We were called out of darkness. We were called out of the world. Like God has been helping us see in 1 Peter. As Christians, we're a colony of God on earth. We're foreigners. This world is not our home. We sang about it just a few minutes ago. This ain't home, people. Where's home? Lawrenceville. Wrong answer. Where's home? Loganville. Wrong again. You're from heaven. Amen? I'm from heaven. That's where we're going to one day. You know, was it Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday. My wife and I, we filed our papers to become American citizens. You don't have to clap. And filled it out, sat there, triple checked the stuff to make sure that there were no mistakes and everything, send it off. And I was telling Gary yesterday, I said, you know, the first thing they do is, now we're going to go get fingerprinted. They're going to make sure we're not criminals. That's a good thing. And then after that, you got to take a test. It's really a civics test. It's not that difficult. But if you miss more than a certain amount, they won't allow you to become a citizen that day. You're going to come back and take the test again. But anyway, and I was just mentioning to Gary, I said, you know what, when that day comes, and hopefully it's going to happen in the next 3 months, when I raise my right hand and take that oath, I'm going to be crying. Because I know how many people in the world would want to be from this country and live in this country. People do all kinds of things to get here. And I think sometimes even as quote-unquote Americans, for those of us who were born here, we don't really appreciate what we've got. And I know when that day comes for me, when, yes, American law and the law of where I'm from, they allow me to have dual citizenship. So I will have dual citizenship. I'm not giving up my Nigerian citizenship. I'm going to have dual citizenship. And like I said to you many months ago, I will be an African-American. But that's okay. You know? My crowd keeps reminding me. Says, you know what? You always say you're an African. You never say you're black. But a different conversation. Don't worry. But I am black. Actually, I am brown. This is brown. This ain't black. This is black. What, on the stage is black. This is brown. But let's not go there. Okay? My shoes are black. This ain't my complexion. I'm sorry. But the incredible thing is, as Christians, God has allowed us to be a part of his family. That's why he says we're no longer foreigners. But now we're members of God's household. Jesus is my big brother. God is your father. Walk like it. Talk like it. Act like it. This world has got nothing on you. If we truly understand our true identity and who we are in Jesus Christ. That's what it says here. It says we're being built up together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Holy Spirit. Man, God is awesome. He really is awesome. And to me, it blows my mind that he wants to dwell inside of me, and he dwells inside of me. Wretched sinner that I am. It's awesome to be a Christian. It's awesome to be a preacher. Because who's a preacher? All I talk about is God. This God, I can't help but want to talk about it with other people. It's awesome. You know, Sarah came home yesterday afternoon, and I think she had gone to the parks for Bible study, and she said, Perry was asking about me. Little Perry, not Big Perry. Says Perry was asking about me from, says, when she walked in, she goes, where's Mr. Richard? And, you know, Sarah said, well, he's home. He's home alone? I said, yeah. And he goes, I want to be like Mr. Richard when I grow up. I want to be a preacher. Perry, come on up. Come on up. Come around. I need this mic on. Come on over. Okay. Now, you're going to preach your first sermon. All right? You ready? Just repeat after me. Okay. All right? Say, God is awesome.
God is awesome.
Say, God is good.
God is good.
Say, I love God.
I love God.
He's going to remember this when he's 40 years old. Okay? Now, here's the cool part. All right? Put your hands together. Preachers get paid. That's okay. You can go sit down. Okay? Remember that. Perry, I want you to remember that. We get paid to do this, okay? It's not a lot of money, but you get paid. Just remember that. First Peter chapter 2. It's our keys that's going to continue this, folks. Okay? For those of us that are older, you better believe some of your kids are going to come into the full-time ministry and continue to talk about God and proclaim God. It's going to be exciting. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It says right here that you and I, were like living stones that were being built into a spiritual house. Amen? To be a holy priesthood. Again, this is another word that I think we don't normally associate with ourselves as Christians. You're a priest. Amen? Now you don't have to have wear a white sack, you know, cassock, and you know, have a what's that thing, collar around your neck or anything. But you're a priest. I'm a priest. As a Christian, the Bible says we're a royal priesthood. We are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's what I talked about in Exodus, about the Israelites. And again, that's also talking about us. But we're priests. God is building a spiritual household out of us. Whether you like it or not, you and I are a work in progress. You know how it is when you're driving through your neighborhood or you see a new subdivision coming up and they're putting the house together? It looks ugly at first, doesn't it? It just doesn't look nice. You know, when they put it in the windows, they're doing all kinds of stuff. But man, when they finish the outside, and you know, these days, you know, they'll even bring in furniture and put curtains up in a model so that when you walk in, you get a feel, well, man, this is nice. I could live here. As a matter of fact, can I buy this model? They usually tell you no. But there's an incredible difference between the finished product and when the house has been built. Are you with me? You and I will see the end product when we get to the other side. We'll never see it here. Now, we need to see the improvements. Are you with me? In us. Just like a house being built. I mean, if they put in the windows six months ago, and you come back 6 months later, hopefully they've started painting and they put the roof on and stuff like that. They put in the hardwood floors. And you understand what I'm saying? In other words, the work should not stop. It should terminate. God wants to continue to walk in us. And the choices we make will determine what kind of building we're going to be. Because he's not going to force us. You know, one thing that Jim Lanahan did not share last week, and I'm going to share it, is many years ago, when that church was called the Lenox Church of Christ, and a bunch of brothers, they all came together and said, you know, what kind of church are we going to be? They were going to start the Atlanta Highlands Church of Christ. Steve Collier was one of them. Bill Francis was also one of them. As a matter of fact, Bill Francis and another person were the only two black brothers that went with that group. Because his conviction was, you know what? What these guys are, what they're talking about and what they want to do is what we see in the scriptures. And if their activity, whatever, is not of God, God will expose it. And obviously, that's how Bill, you know, became part of that group. And he's still here. And so I asked them last week, I said, whatever became of that group? It died out. That church died. And again, I bring that up because we got to be very, very careful. We can't play games with this thing. That we got to ask ourselves, where's the church? Where are the people that are doing what the Bible says and living it out? And have the conviction to be a part of it. Because your eternity is at stake. My eternity is at stake. Sometimes people ask me, how come you're in this church? Let me tell you something. It's not perfect. It never will be. Okay? But this is the closest thing I have found that teaches what the Bible says and lives according to it. And we are not going to apologize for it. Amen, church? Amen. We're going to continue to call people to follow the scriptures and the scriptures only. Not man-made traditions, not doctrines of man, not opinions of men. We're going to call people out to follow the scriptures. Amen? Amen? But as we do that, the Bible says God will build us into a spiritual household. Obviously, in a place that he's dwelling. I just looked down at my clock. And I need to stop. Write this reference down. And I want you to go study it out this week.
As a matter of fact, Gary mentioned it this morning in his class. In Acts chapter 11, we're told that the Christians were called Christians first at Antioch. That was an incredible church. I want you to go study it out because that church was not started by the apostles. It was started by laymen and women. They didn't have any apostle with them as we knew. And as a matter of fact, when Paul and Barnabas arrived, the scriptures tell us in that passage, when they saw the evidence of the grace of God, they praised God. Great passage. Study it out. They saw the evidence of the grace of God. They saw great numbers of people being won for God. They saw a church with a vision for the world. They saw a church that was praying and fasting. And would you believe it? That was where Paul's missionary journey started. It was from that group. Amen? Here was a fellowship of Jews and Gentiles, where they crossed racial barriers, cultural barriers, and religious barriers to be together. That was what the church was like. Amen? Yeah. Brothers and sisters, God is always at work in people. He desires a people in whom he can work. Our attitude has got to be, here I am, Lord, send me. All you need to do is make yourself available. In your neighborhood, at your workplace. You don't need a pulpit on a Sunday to preach. You got a Bible. You got a mouth. Preach the word. Wherever you go, whoever you see, whoever you meet, we're priests. Jesus has been building his church and he's still building his church. Amen? And one day, he's going to come back for his bride. You know, we will always have issues as a church and as a brotherhood. Okay? If you haven't seen any issues yet, I promise you, you will. That's just the nature of the way it goes. All right? Satan is not going to sit back and watch us just convert tons of people and they all waltz into heaven. It's not happening. This is war. All right? This is a battle. But the point is, we're going to be victorious. We already know how this thing is going to end. But God has always been at work. God wants to use us. God designed the church to grow. God designed you and me to grow. God desires that his church grow. God desires that you and me grow. God has empowered his church to grow. Again, like Jim started talking about last week, God has empowered you and me to grow. If I'm not growing, it's not Jesus' fault. It's mine. I got to look in the mirror and ask myself, okay, where do I fall short? What are the things I need to change in my life? Knowing that God is dwelling inside of me. Amen? As we grow older as Christians, people should be able to see God in us. That we're different from the way we used to be. We're different from the way we used to think. We give of ourselves. Amen? Amen? That's what it's all about. And as we stay connected to the head, that is Jesus, remember, we are the body, we will continue to grow. We will continue to thrive. Like plants planted by streams of water. Our leaves will never fade out. They will never fall. But Jesus promised to build his church. Amen. To me, this is good news. Amen. This is exciting. Amen. That God designed you and I to grow. God designed the church to grow. Not only numerically, but spiritually speaking. Amen? Amen. That's exciting to me. And I've said this before, and I say it again, and I sit down and keep my mouth shut. You know, a lot of us have kids, those of us that are parents, and
the kids are growing. If they're not growing, you get very concerned as a parent. You're feeding that child. They're eating you out. You know how it is? You go to the grocery store, you buy stuff, you fill up the refrigerator. In 2-3 days, it's empty. It's like, what in the world is going on? They're eating you out. That's what's going on. But the point is, as they're eating, they're growing. If they're not growing, you get very concerned. And rightly so. You know, I was talking to Xavier on Thursday night. And I said, Xavier, how old are you? And he told me. I said, you're kidding. I said, wow. I said, what are you eating? I said, I want to grow taller. He goes, yeah, I eat this and I eat this and I eat this. And, you know, and he didn't answer my question because he really didn't tell me what to eat so I could grow taller. But it was kind of fun just talking to him. I mean, you see these kids running around in the fellowship. They're growing up. They're growing up. Are we growing up as adults? Spiritually speaking. Is our church growing like it's supposed to? Because as long as you and I stay connected to the head, God promises he will add to our number those who will be saved. But we got to make ourselves available. You know, it's like that. Okay, I'm looking for work. Lord, I'm looking for work. I'm looking for work. Father, help me get a job today. And you're not sending any resumes out. You're not asking anybody what's going on in the world. Good luck. Because I promise you, nobody's going to come knock on your door. Hey, I heard there's a guy over here, been looking for work for 6 months. We got a job for you. That ain't happening. I'm sorry. I don't know what Bible you've been reading. There's certain things you're going to have to do. And then God will answer your prayers. So God does his part. You and I do ours. Amen? As you and I are doing our part, and we're trusting God, we're working with God, God will do his part. And that's always the exciting part. Jesus promised to build his church. I hope that encourages you this morning. That God ain't through with us yet. He's not even gotten started yet, to be honest with you. He has not even started with us yet. This is the what do you call that thing before the first act? The prologue or the introduction or, you know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. We ain't seen nothing yet. Amen? God bless.
We'll pray, and then we have an announcement. Father God, may your name be praised forever. God, thank you for this time that we've had together. We pray, God, that the worship has been acceptable to you. Thank you, Father, for the lesson on 1 Peter, which was led by Brother Gary. God, thank you for bringing us to the cross with our elder Steve Collier. And Father, we thank you for the sermon that Richards gave us and the sermon that little Perry gave us. God, we pray that we'll humble ourselves under your mighty hand and that we may be lifted up in due time. Father, because of Christ, we are precious to you. Being built into a spiritual house, we pray that we will devote ourselves to you each day. And to one another, that you might be praised forever. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an announcement. All the choir members are asked to come to the stage for rehearsal immediately after we dismiss. We ask that you please take your fellowship outside of these doors. You're dismissed.